I was planning on today preaching on basically a lesson that God has taught me through my dog Max, but about middle of the week I started to see that we were going to have really low numbers today in person. We have people going on vacation. Of course, it's homecoming season, so we have people at homecomings. We have people sick with non-COVID illnesses. We've got just a little bit of everything going on. And so I asked God, because I really wanted to save that message to where I might preach it next week. We'll see where God leads. But I asked God if he wanted me to go in a different direction. And I had something in mind, and God told me, no. He says, your church is under attack, and I want you to talk on prayer. Because prayer is where we do the battle. So let's talk about prayer today. This is going to be a simple message, probably nothing really too new to you, but this is where God led me today. I think that I was talking to someone this past week, and he said, I tell you what's needed is prayer. Prayer is what is needed in our world. How many of you have seen what's going on in Israel? It's crazy. Some of these pictures and videos coming out on Facebook that I've seen and in the news of the attacks on Israel, and I tell you something I've seen very clearly is the hatred for Israel by Muslim countries and Muslim people. I mean, they would post a video of a missile attack and they would get more laughing faces than anything else. And you go through and you look, who's doing the laughing? People who are Muslim and from Muslim countries. And so the hatred for Israel is next level. And right now, I would hate to live in Israel. And I pray for Israel, and I feel for what they're going through. But we need to be praying for Israel. We need to pray for peace in the Middle East. We need to be praying for our world. Prayer's needed. Our culture is getting more and more sinful. It doesn't take a genius to see that. The culture's getting worse. Seems like every day. And then, of course, even though we're not necessarily right in the middle of the pandemic anymore, there's still a pandemic going on, and especially in other countries, there are still a lot of people dying from COVID. Our nation needs prayer. We are divided, probably the most divided I've seen us in my lifetime. Neither side of the aisle wants to come to the middle. Neither side wants to talk to one another. Sin is running rampant, and I think we're probably headed for economic collapse in just a matter of time. And then finally, I've already mentioned, in our church, we have people in our church, we as a church, are experiencing hardships like crazy. We have people dealing with health problems. We have people whose family is dealing with health problems. We have people who are dealing with family problems, family drama. And we've had sin running rampant in this church. I'm personally tired of it, and I know God's tired of it, and so that's been addressed as well. Myself, this past 2 weeks, I have been struggling with anxiety to the point of having pains at times in my chest and simply feeling exhausted. And I know that the enemy is after me and is after our church. It's no surprise that we're dealing with this stuff because we're right in the middle of a spiritual war. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul's saying we're in this struggle, we're in this battle, and it's not against the people, it's not against rulers and authorities here, but it's against the rulers and authorities and the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil that are in the heavenly realms. There's this battle that has taken place between good and evil, and we are right in the middle of that war, and we are all fighting many battles within the greater war. So how do we fight? Paul says in Ephesians 6, he talks about putting on the full armor of God. And so he goes through Ephesians 6 and he tells about the armor of God and what to put on, each piece to put on to fight in this war that we are in. But at the end of that passage, you would think he would say, now go fight. Now go do battle. Instead, after he tells us everything to put on, our whole armor of God to put on, in Ephesians 6:18, he says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. He doesn't say, go fight. He says, go pray. Why is that? Because prayer is how we do battle in this war that we are in. Prayer is our only way to fight. Because we have no spiritual power in ourselves separate from God. And so we need to be able to do battle within this war. We need to call on someone greater than us. Someone that really has that power. Someone that can really fight these battles. Someone that can really work in this war that we are in. And that is God. And because of Jesus, because Jesus died for us, we have this relationship where we can talk with God, have conversations with God, and we can have the power of God at work in our life. And so let's talk about prayer today. My first point for you is this. We're just going to cover basically what prayer is. What is prayer? Prayer, this is my definition, and you heard this definition last year actually, but my definition, very simple, I believe prayer is a conversation and an encounter with God. Conversation and encounter with God. In the Old Testament, I was thinking about Moses. He would have conversations with God. He would walk into a tent and you could see the fog settle around the tent. Moses himself would be talking to the God of the universe just like he was talking to a friend. And I was thinking, what would that have been like for all the people seeing this happen, knowing that their leader is talking to God, the one who provides the manna, the one who provides the water, the one who split the sea, the one who brought all the plagues down in Egypt. Moses is talking to him, and I was imagining what would that be like for those people to see that happening, but then I was thinking, what would that be like for Moses? Man, I would love to be in Moses' shoes, yet we are. In fact, this is a picture of what happens when we pray. We are having a direct conversation and encounter with God. With the God who split the sea, the same God that Moses talked to. We are having that direct conversation and encounter with Him. Jesus said in John 15:15, He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. This is the God of the universe telling us that He is our friend. More than that, we're told in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that we're actually in Jesus. Paul said, it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus. So not only are we like Moses and we're talking to a friend, but we're actually in Jesus. We're actually in God. But then it goes further than that. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? So here's Moses talking to God in a tent, just like he's talking to a friend. Well, we got that down. We're friends with God. But then we go a step further. Because of Jesus, we are in God, and God is in us. Look, think about how close that is. How close that encounter is with God. We're in Him, He's in us. Therefore, we can talk to Him at any time we want. We don't have to go to a tent. Your body's that temple where you meet with Him. You can talk with Him at any time. And so let's talk about how prayer is a conversation and an encounter. Let's first cover conversation. Too often we just talk to God rather than with God in prayer. We make a list of our requests and we just rattle them off to Him, and it basically turns into this one-sided conversation that would not work in any relationship in the real world. In any close relationship, close personal relationship, there has to be conversations involved, or that relationship's not going to last very long. And in those conversations, it's not one side telling the other person everything. It's a talking and a listening relationship. That's a conversation. That's the conversations that we are called to have with one another, but that's also the conversations we are called to have with God. Now don't get me wrong, God delights in hearing our request and knowing what we need. Yet, He wants us to listen for Him as well. He wants us to allow Him to talk into our life. And this has become so important for me in my life. I read a book, I just finished it 2 weeks ago probably, called Hearing God. And the whole book, it was like 300 pages long, was on hearing God. And how often we go through these steps, growth in our life, or we go from not hearing God to hearing God at times to then being able to hear God in every situation, every circumstance just about. Sometimes God is silent, but most of the time He is doing something behind the scenes, and you'll hear Him eventually, sooner rather than later. And in this book, he talked about how so many Christians settle with never hearing God. And I was thinking, what a one-sided relationship that is. God's basically their genie, there to do whatever. When God wants to speak to us. Because sometimes God needs to tell you certain things just for you. And so we've got to be willing to listen to God, to sit with God, and just spend time with Him and listen for that still, small voice in our head. But prayer is also an encounter. When we have a conversation with God, we are having an encounter with Him. We are spending that intentional, life-giving time with Him. And I've already said the Holy Spirit's always with us. However, even though the Holy Spirit's with us, most of the time we're going through life, our focus is not on the Holy Spirit. But there's something that happens when we intentionally focus on prayer. Our focus is turned to being with God. And we're having this communion with Him. We're having this fellowship with Him. And we're in His life-giving presence. Jesus said He is the life. He's the one who gives life. When you're spending time with God, I come out, just as Moses came down glowing, I come out glowing spiritually. I know that I've been in this life-giving presence, and God is working in my life, and God is speaking to me, and I feel refreshed when I come out of that. But also, I was thinking about how prayer is an encounter, and when you are specifically praying, you are interacting with all three parts of the Holy Trinity. Because we pray to the Father, as shown in the Lord's Prayer. We pray through the Son, 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ is hearing our prayers, is interceding on our behalf before the throne of the Father, and then the Holy Spirit is involved. In the same way, Romans 8:26 through 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groanings. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Right. Praying to the Father through the Son, and while that's all going on, you're praying in the Spirit. The Spirit is praying because the Spirit knows the will of God. So the Spirit is praying the will of God because the Spirit is God. So, of course, the Spirit's going to know the will of God. And so the Spirit's praying on our behalf. God is praying on your behalf. That's powerful. That we have a Savior that would die for us, a God that would send His Son to die for us, that He died for us, sacrificed His life, and now not only is He doing that, but He's also praying on our behalf according to our individual needs, according to what we need. Some people think God is this big God and He doesn't care about our little problems. Yes, He does. Because He loves you individually. He cares about you individually. So prayer is a conversation and an encounter with God. Now let's talk about a few of the different types of prayers that we have in our arsenal that we need to be using as we fight these battles. There's more types of prayers than the four I'm covering today. But I'm just covering four because I'm just taking them from 1 Timothy 2:1. Paul was writing to Timothy and he says this, "I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people." So let's talk about those four. Let's talk about what petitions are. Some translations will translate that supplications. But petitions and supplications are prayers where we ask God to feel a need. They are prayers where we ask God to feel a need. When I was looking at the actual definition, the Strong's definition of that word, that actual definition was something like this. This is a heartfelt petition arising out of a deep personal need. So it's something that you need, that you have this deep personal need that you know you need. And so think about a petition. Have you ever signed a petition? I've signed a couple petitions. Isn't that what they signed to get the governor of California out, a petition? The election takes place, but that's immediately what I thought about when I read petition. But you can sign a petition because you want something to happen. You are petitioning, you're asking for this to happen. And so we can go before God and petition Him to feel maybe a deep personal need that we have. Now, I will say this. This type of prayer can be used for both ourselves and for others. But for the purpose of today's sermon, petitions is going to be used specifically for our personal needs. So when do we use this type of prayer? Well, when I read the definition about a deep personal need, that told me that we use this type of prayer when we are desperate. Jesus communicated this in a parable about a friend who is desperate for some bread to give to his friend that was coming in. This is in Luke chapter 11. We're going to be parked here in Luke chapter 11 for these next two subpoints. But Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching on prayer, and he says this. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. So basically, the friend was not prepared for the other friend to come. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. In this parable, we are the friend that needs the 3 loaves of bread. And God is the one in the house that we are going to. And so this guy comes in the middle of night and knocks on the door and says, hey, I need some bread. Now, their houses were not big. So you're talking like one room. And so them knocking on the door, he just woke up his entire family. This was rude. It'd be rude now. But it was definitely rude back then. Yet because this friend is so desperate, he's in such a need for bread, he is knocking on that door. He's being bold. That shameless audacity is kind of the point of this parable. Because God wants to provide us with the food. So God's not going to be mad for you knocking on the door. But Jesus is telling this parable to say that we need to be bold in our prayers. We need to be shameless in our prayers. Why? Because God knows we're desperate. Listen, we're more desperate than we are aware of. We are more desperate for God to move than even we know. And so we shouldn't have no shame in asking God for whatever we need. And we need to be bold. God wants us to approach Him boldly. He wants us to approach Him shamelessly because He knows better than we even know how desperate we are. So we use this type of prayer when we are desperate. Number two, we use this type of prayer when we need God to meet our own needs. He continues in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus is saying that when we have a need, we need to ask, we need to seek, we need to knock. For everyone who asks will receive, the one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. And then Jesus said, how many of you fathers know how to give good gifts? You human beings who are sinful, you human beings who are evil, know how to give good gifts, then obviously the good father that we just sung about knows how to give good gifts. He knows exactly what we need, and we're told elsewhere in Scripture that He will meet all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. See, when you have the whole world in your hands, He has more than the whole world. He has everything in His hands. When He has everything in His hands, He's never going to run out. And so if He knows that you have a need, He is going to give it to you because He's a good, good Father. So we use this type of prayer when we are in need. And then finally, we need to keep asking. I put this in here, but just because it's two P's and I like that. But we need to be persistent in our petitions. That's something that I think that we are not too great at sometimes. I think sometimes we might ask God for things a few times, and maybe we'll even ask Him for things for a year, but then after a year, if we don't get them, we say, well, God just must not want us to receive that, so we're just going to stop praying about that. But Jesus talked about being persistent in prayer in Luke chapter 18 in another parable. Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them, this is verses 1 through 4, that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what you people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Now, in this situation, God is the judge. Now, once again, God wants you to come to Him. So He's not this judge who wants you to stop bothering Him. No, He wants you to keep coming to Him. But Jesus told this story to focus on the widow that represents us. This judge ended up giving this widow what she wanted because the widow kept bothering the judge. God wants us to keep coming to Him with our requests, to be persistent in prayer, to keep asking until you feel led not to. I tell you something that I am sensing within our church. It's that one reason why we have not seen God meet some of the personal needs is because God wants us to keep coming to Him. God wants us to keep getting closer to Him. In my life, sometimes God would not answer a prayer because He knows that that is pushing me closer to Him. And I think that's what God is leading our church to do, to keep being persistent, keep spending time with Him, keep being with Him. And stop leaning on our own power. See, that's one of the problems, is that when we have a need, we instead try to figure out how to meet that need ourselves. We lean on our own power, we lean on our own understanding, or we just worry about it. We just become anxious about it. I already told you, I'm struggling with anxiety. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every prayer, in every situation, by prayer, and look at what he mentions there, petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Instead of being anxious, instead of worrying about it, instead of giving up too early, we need to pray and petition God and be persistent in that petitioning God to move and petitioning God to work and asking God to meet our deep personal needs, because we all have them. God loves to talk to you. Don't ever let the devil tell you you just need to leave God alone. Don't ever let the devil tell you that God doesn't care about your needs, because He does. If He cares about the bees and the birds, providing them with food and the nutrients they need, He cares about you. So keep going to Him. The second type of prayer mentioned in that verse was prayers. Now, in this context, prayers generally refers to all types of prayers offered to God. This is those conversations and encounters that we talked about earlier, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. But the question is, when do we pray? When do we have a conversation and an encounter with God? Well, we've already read this verse, but I want to read it again. Paul's saying in these battles, in this war we're in Ephesians 6:18, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Be aware that we are in a battle. Be aware that we are in a war. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So he's saying we need to be praying in the Spirit on all occasions. We need to regularly be practicing our prayers with God, talking to God. Practice that on a regular basis. Just a practical example of how I practice this. When I worked at Food Line, this was me judging, but you could tell someone's a Muslim, obviously. You know, you could tell that they definitely were of a different faith. There's times where I could tell whether a person was a lesbian or gay or transgender or whatever, but they would come up into my line and I would talk to them, you know, but while I'm checking out their groceries, I am praying for them in my head. I am praying that God would touch this person's life, that God would appear to this person, that God would interrupt this person's life, and that they would turn to Him. That they would realize that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that they would turn from their wicked ways, and that God would use me as a light to them in any way that He can. If a poor person came through, I would do the same thing. That's how I talk to God on a regular basis. But you know what? I also listen to God. So there were times where God would tell me to say something. There were times where God would tell me to do something. I'd have that still, small voice in my head say, pay for their groceries. Give them that 25 cent that they need. Do this, do that. A few weeks ago, Pastor Bernard was at Day of Solitude that our district puts on every now and then. And it's basically just a day to go and pray. And he was telling me that he was just sitting there or walking or whatever, and a spider came up. And God started talking to him about that spider. He didn't start talking through the spider, not like Charlotte's Web or anything. But he started talking to him about that spider. I don't remember exactly what he told me, but it was basically like that we're like that spider, just wandering around. And I don't even know what else he said. But God can talk to you through anything if you allow Him to. If you're listening, God will talk to me. When I say talk to me, He doesn't talk to me through the grass, but God will use grass to communicate something to me. My original sermon was about how God used my dog to talk to me. He can use a donkey. He's used a donkey before. But God will use whatever you allow Him to communicate something to you if you're listening. We've got to be listening. Instead, what often happens is we just keep our focus down here on the world. We can't really see nothing more than what's directly in front of us. And that's a very earthly mindset. That's very worldly for us. Because Paul tells us in Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Don't keep your focus down here. Don't be so worried about the affairs of this world. Keep your mind, set your mind, and don't change it. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Third type of prayer mentioned here is intercession. Intercessory prayer is used when we are praying on behalf of other people. This means that we are interceding. That's kind of what it's saying there, is that we are interceding on another person's behalf. In secular literature, intercessory or interceding is about going to someone higher in authority and asking for things on their behalf. So you could go to a king and asking the king to do something on behalf of another person. We could go to the president and ask the president to do something on behalf of another person. And obviously in this case, we are heading before the throne of God, literally going before the throne of God and asking God, God, I'm asking if you will move in that person's life. God, I'm asking you if you'll heal that person from cancer. God, I'm asking you if you'll heal that person from this sickness that they're dealing with. Intercede, the word intercedes means to intervene. So you're literally intervening on behalf of another person. And church, this is the type of prayer that I think we need to be leaning on really heavily right now. We need to be praying for other people because we have tons of people who are in need. We need to be going before the throne, asking God to move in their life. We need to be asking God to intervene in their life. We are interceding on their behalf, asking God to intervene in their life, to work in their life, to make His presence known. And I think that we need to be bold on behalf of other people. I personally struggle with being bold for when I'm asking for things for myself, and you really shouldn't be. You really should be bold like that. Should have that shameless audacity. But I still struggle with it. But we shouldn't struggle at all with praying bold prayers on behalf of other people. That's that outward focus, that love for others that we are called to show. And so we can be bold before God. The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. We should be praying bold prayers for other people. We need to be praying bold prayers on behalf of all people, asking God to move in a strong and powerful way in their life. So intercede on behalf of others, especially when they have a need. But here's one that's been very key for our church here recently. Intercede for others when a brother or sister is caught in sin. James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Here's the problem. We don't do the first one, so the second one don't happen. We don't talk about our sins to one another. We are not transparent and open with one another. Therefore, the prayers are not happening. But James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Almost as if in most cases, and I've seen this evidence of this, in most cases, healing's not going to happen until you get other people involved. Until other people are praying for you, other people are interceding for you. Because James says that the prayers of a righteous person, they're powerful and effective. A righteous person is someone who is in a right relationship with God. If you're in sin, your relationship with God is not going to be completely right. And so, because your relationship with God is not completely right, the connection might be a little foggy. Your Wi-Fi ever mess up a little bit, or your cell phone connection ain't great, like in this building. Anytime something like that happens, that's kind of how your relationship with God gets, how your communication with God gets. When you're allowing sin to live and thrive in your life. And so we need to be confessing our sins to other people where they should be receiving grace and mercy, yes, but also a call to the truth, a call to transformation, a call to repentance. And that person, when they confess their sins to you, you need to pray for them. Especially if you're living a righteous life, knowing that God hears your prayers. What happens instead is no one tells the other people about what's going on in their life. So intercessory prayer doesn't happen. We've got to get better at this. We don't have a problem asking the church to pray when we have a sickness or a death in the family or something going on, but we have a problem when we confess our sins to one another. Sin is the worst sickness you'll ever deal with. And when you're sick, you need to go to the doctor. if you are willing to ask people to pray for you when you're sick, you're having surgery, or whatever, you need to be asking the other people to pray for you when you're sick with sin. There's really not that much difference. But what has happened instead is the church has traditionally condemned people who are in sin, looked down on people who are in sin, rather than showing mercy and grace, yet calling them to truth. It's a balancing act. But we got to get back to confessing our sins to one another and interceding on one another's behalf. So who are you interceding on behalf of? Because I can about guarantee you that someone is interceding on behalf of you. Yeah. One thing I've noticed through the attacks that our church has gone through is that for the most part, I have been spared. I have been blessed with fairly good health. And I can tell you that that is because people are praying for me. People are interceding on my behalf. I sense them. I know them. I know that, and I thank you for that. Pray on behalf of other people. And finally, the last one that was mentioned there is thanksgiving. Prayers of thanksgiving are prayers expressing our gratitude to God for past, present, or future situations. Past, present, or future situations. So in these prayers, we simply express our gratitude to God for what He has done. But truthfully, every prayer should have thanksgiving in it because God's always good. No matter what's going on, God is always good. Colossians 4:2, Paul straight up says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Have that attitude of gratitude when you pray, every time you pray. But now Paul's talking here specifically that we need to pray prayers of thanksgiving to God. So let's talk about, I specifically said after God moves, past, present, or future. So let's talk about after God moves. We need to pray this after God moves in a mighty way, when we remember His past actions, when we experience a move for Him. You need to thank Him for all that He's done for you and your family. There are times where I'm overwhelmed during worship, knowing that 5 years ago, this church wasn't here. Knowing that God has built this church piece by piece, person by person. Knowing that it was outside of my power. There are times where I'm overwhelmed with thankfulness. Overwhelmed with gratitude. And I ask God, why did you pick me to lead this church? Why have you been so good to me? Because He has. And I'm sure you can look back in your life and see that God has been good. When was the last time you thanked Him for that? We need to thank God for present actions, like when God moves. We need to thank God by expressing confidence of how He is going to move in the present. I feel like the Psalms of Thanksgiving, where David is praising God right then and there. He's thanking God for something that he is doing or that he has confidence that God is going to do. I think that is that type of prayer that we should be praying. I think it goes right along with worship. He's always deserving of worship. Even when the storms are all around, even when we're right in the middle of the battle, He still deserves us. He still deserves us to praise Him and to worship Him and to thank Him, having confidence that even though the battle might not look great right now, we know it's going to be okay because God is with us. So we need to thank God about present situations as well. And then finally, this is one I really want to hit on a little bit, is that we need to thank God for how He's going to move in the future. When you need God to move, go on and thank Him for going and moving on your behalf. That's an expression of hope. That's an expression of faith. This happens when we pray and thank God as if what we are asking Him to do has already happened. Those are faith prayers. Believing in faith that God is going to provide, believing in faith that God is going to do that. I've prayed these prayers multiple times. They're powerful. They display our faith. They display our hope in God. But another aspect of praying for the future, thanking God for the future, is that we can thank God knowing that whatever comes our way, that He is always going to be there with us as long as we keep following Him, and that He is always going to work it around for the good as long as we keep following Him. He deserves to be thanked for that. And when you are praying that, knowing that He is going to be with you through whatever comes your way, and you're thanking Him for that, I think you will see yourself change as well. I think you'll see yourself become more aware of that fact, knowing that whatever the devil throws at you, God's going to be there with you. He's going to lead you through it. We don't thank God enough in our prayers. Most people only pray to God when they need Him. And as soon as He provides what they need, they're done with them. We need to regularly be thanking God in our prayers because God deserves it. He's always deserving because He's a good, good Father. So we need to be praying these four types of prayers often. This is the prayers that Paul mentions that we have in our arsenal: petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. I'm going to skip a whole part of my sermon, but I'll summarize it for you. We need to be intentional about private prayer. You can go and put it up on the screen, Zach. We need to be intentional about private prayer. Let me tell you this. If Jesus had to go pray privately, then you've got to too. Don't think that you can get by without praying. Number two, we need to be praying collectively. Zach, put that up because I don't know how I worded it. Participate in corporate prayer. This was practiced regularly in the book of Acts. Acts 4:31, I believe is what it was, talks about how the place that they were praying, place that they were meeting, was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I used to say, after we've got this building, that crack showed up, that crack showed up, there's a crack right here, there's cracks everywhere. But I used to believe, honestly, I still wonder if this place shook a little bit when we would pray here together. Something special happens when we pray together. God answers those prayers. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Matthew 18:19. God communicates to us when we pray together. I'll tell you a cool story real quick. Election day last year, we had about probably five or six of us gathered here today, that day to pray. We all prayed separately. Somebody praying over here, praying over here, praying outside, praying over there. But then at the end, it just kind of organically happened. We sat down in these seats, and we shared about what God was speaking to us. And did you know God spoke the same thing to all of us? Different passages, different ways of communication, but it all went together. I purposely went last in sharing because I wanted to see if God was speaking to everybody else what He was speaking to me. And the passage that He gave me summarized basically what everybody else had said. It was powerful. We knew the Holy Spirit was there and the Holy Spirit was speaking to us. And I'll be quite honest, I knew coming out of that prayer time that the election might not go the way that I wanted it to go. But I had this overwhelming confidence that we were going to be okay because God was with us. I want to encourage you, Wednesday nights at 6:30, we have a group that just gathers on Zoom to pray. It takes 30 minutes. I want to encourage you to get on that. Pastor Lisa, she's on vacation. She posts it in the group page, or she posts it on her personal page. And we just gather on there, and Pastor Lisa and Janet will have a couple things they want us to pray on. And we will rotate praying. It takes 30 minutes. It's not that hard. I guarantee you, some of you take time 30 minutes to go watch TV, right, or 30 minutes to go to a ball game or go do something else, go watch a ball game. You can take 30 minutes to pray together on Wednesday nights. That's 6:30 every Wednesday night. You see it on Facebook. We need to be praying together. We need to be praying for our church. We need to be praying privately. I want to read you this quote by S.D. Gordon that I came across of it in the book. Prayer is striking the winning blow at the concealed enemy. Service, and what he's talking about service is everything we do outside, like actually what we do in the world. Service is gathering up the results of that blow among the people we see and touch. Prayer is where you strike the winning blow. What we do out here is where we collect our winnings. Let's be praying. Let's be praying different types of prayers. Let's be having conversations with God. Let's be praying privately, and let's be praying with one another. And so this week, I want to encourage you to pray privately, to be intentional about that in your life, to make that a pattern. Get away for 30 minutes a day and go spend that time with God. Jesus would get away from the crowds, get away from teaching, and just spend time with his Father. If he had to do it, knowing that he was fully God and fully human, then I can guarantee you that we're going to have to do it as well. And then pray together with us on Wednesday nights. It's a powerful time. Pray with us together on Wednesday nights at 6:30 on Zoom. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to